Hello, my kings and queens and all in between. Welcome to another episode of Mindful Artist Podcast. This is Andrew Velasquez, your host. That song you just heard is my song called Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. You can download Mi Corazón wherever you stream your favorite music. And I want to ask you a favor. Please go onto the reviews, give us some stars, share this with somebody that you love, that you know is creative and is trying to pursue their dreams. Or maybe you're a creative person that is an entrepreneur. Email me at mindfulartist@podcastgmail.com, and I'd love to have you on as a guest. And for today, your one-stop shop for all things balancing mindfulness, creativity, spirituality, while being an entrepreneur. I have an amazing guest, you guys. I'm so excited to introduce this lovely person to you. You guys, let's give it up for Joe DeLude the second. Yes.
Hey.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank
How are you
you.
doing, beautiful?
Thank you. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Good. Good to see you. Is it okay if I give you a little bio really quick?
Yeah, of course.
All right, you guys. So who is Joe DeLude II? Joe DeLude II is probably best known for his Broadway and West End makeup designs on such productions as Wicked, Beetlejuice, MJ the Musical, SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical, Torch Song, Sunday in the Park with George, Sweet Charity, Holiday Inn, Allegiance, and many more. Joe is also a makeup artist for film and television designing Annie Live and Jesus Christ Superstar, which was an Emmy nomination. His work on film and TV includes The Holdovers, Black Flame, Don't Look Up, The Gilded Age, Castle Rock Season 2, City on a Hill, Ghostbusters, and many more. He taught for several years at Muhlenberg College, Pace University, and The Hart School. He teaches and presents worldwide for The Powder Group, The Makeup Show, The Local 798, as well as teaching his unique and creative classes in Sao Paulo, London, and throughout the U.S. During the pandemic, he began to offer his classes through Zoom and continues to do so. He has won an Etsy Design Award and a Local 706 Hair and Makeup Guild Award for his work. Throughout his career, Joe's work has enhanced the faces of many well-known actors and performers for television, theatrical, and personal appearances. He is also the chair of the Local 798 Makeup and Hairstylist Union Mentorship Program. Joe is a fine artist showing his work in New York City and Pennsylvania. He is a performance artist and a drag queen, having created his most memorable and drunk character, Mr. Drag. He has written several shows produced by Eggtooth Productions, of which he is a board member. Joe has also created video content as Mr. Drag, as well as several other characters that he has created. Wow, what a bio, Joe. Oh my God. Congratulations.
I was just thinking, God, I should probably narrow that down and make it a little
shorter. No. It's well earned, well deserved. You did that. How does it feel hearing back like a little bit of your legacy and the, you know, the iconic makeup and looks that you have created?
It's so strange because, you know, Wicked just celebrated its 20-year anniversary. And so that was the first Broadway show that I designed. I had been doing makeup for a long time before that, but it's the first Broadway show I designed.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks. And it just, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like it was just yesterday, and then other times it feels like it was so long ago. And when I actually look at a list, like when people be like, well, what shows have you done, when I meet someone that doesn't know who I am, and I'm like, go through my head and try to remember, and I always forget. Uh-huh. But then I'm like, wow, I really have done a lot. Like,
you have.
And it doesn't always seem that way, I think, because I tend to live more in the present moment than mm-hmm. in the past stuff. So
I love that.
So it just seems like this is whatever I'm doing now is what I'm focusing on, and that's what I'm doing. And so sometimes I forget like all the things that have been.
That's so cool. No, this is exactly why I wanted to have you on here, not because of just your legacy, but exactly what you just said. This is that space for being able to balance and be present and soak it all in, but reflect and be grateful, right? Mm. So let's reflect a little bit. Let's go back to a little bit of Joe DeLude II's origins. Where are you from? Where were you born? How was it growing up? Like, were you always this creative? Like, did you know this is what you wanted to do?
I was born in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, which is actually where I live currently. And never thought I would move back to my actual hometown. Ooh. I thought maybe back to Providence, but I'm back.
Full circle.
Closer to my family and help out with them a little bit. And I was always creative since I was a little kid. I was always I'm a huge like fantasy sci-fi nerd. I collected comic books. I played Dungeons and Dragons. I still play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
Playing over the New Year's with my friends that are coming up from New York. So I was always really creative. I was always drawing. I really, what I wanted was to be an artist. That's
Yeah.
what I wanted to be. And then, of course, everyone tells you that, you can't be an artist because you can't make any money being an artist. And so then it was like, well, how can I sort of be an artist and not, and make money?
Sure.
And so I went to school for graphic design, and that was like kind of the closest thing. So then I could t still take like
Makes
drawing
sense.
classes and all of those kind of art classes and learn, but then I would have a viable, quote unquote, viable job.
Yeah. I love the art behind you. Is that your work too? Is that
This is my work, her, and then
Gorge. Is that Mr. Drag?
no, sadly, and then
Okay.
that one way up there is also mine. The rest of
So
it, all
cool.
ones that I've collected.
I see Bowie back there too.
Yeah, that was done
And
by my friend Tony Dietrich-Lisi. So he's an amazing.
Wicked.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
My portrait wall. I also have like right there is a really cool one where it's these sketches that Carol Kane did when she was cast as Madame Morrible, and she had some
Amazing.
her second wig. So she did all these sketches, and then I said, when you're done with that, can I have that? And
Yeah.
yeah.
So for those of you listening at the podcast, make sure that you go to the YouTube slash Andrew Velasquez and check out the visuals of this because you have to check this out. So cool. Well, Joe, then how were you? Do you practice any kind of spirituality? Like, were you raised any kind of specific religion, or how was that growing up, and where are you at with that today?
I was raised Catholic, so anybody that knows what
Yeah,
that
I know. I was
was.
too.
Catholic school for, 12 years. And taught by nuns a lot. There were nuns in my family, like the extended family, not the immediate family.
The catechism of it all.
Yeah, my parents were very strict Catholic. They mellowed out a lot over the years. So it was a little tough, and especially like, I was born in 71. I think I knew I was gay early on, but of course that wasn't something that you could really say. So it was something that I had to hide for a very long time. Once I turned 18 and I didn't have to go to church anymore, I did
Yeah.
not.
Yeah.
I think religion is a really great thing for people, but I think people turn it into weapons, and it's not
Yeah.
core of what religion is about. And I've had some really great discussions with my mom
Oh, good.
over the years about this because, I'm not saying to her like I personally don't believe God exists. I believe that we are all connected through energy. But like I still respect that my friends, my family believe in that, and I think
Sure.
that's a good thing. It's a good thing for it helps them through tough times or any time really.
Yeah.
And we all sort of think the same thing, and we just call it something different.
Absolutely. And that's why I wanted to have this safe space for spirituality conversations and healthy dialogues about being open-minded about it. You know what I mean? Like, there's no wrong or right way to practice that. And it should just be a spirituality in general for each individual. So yeah, this is a judgment-free zone for all to learn about everyone's beliefs and not have any kind of judgment towards it, you know?
Yeah, like I
But
still have like religious iconography. Like I still have like on my I have a Dia de los Muertos altar that I keep up year round.
Yes, I love
A friend
that.
of mine practiced it. He lived in New Mexico. He was from New Mexico, so they would
Okay.
practice it every year. And so he was my roommate for a time, and we would practice it. And I just thought, well, why am I just putting this up once a year? Like, why don't I just keep it up all year? And then
Yeah.
when guidance or something from my ancestors, I have it. So like I have like a statue of Jesus on there, but I also have a statue of Buddha. And so it's like,
And then
I
Madonna as
like
well, right?
but yeah, so it's like I combine like different spiritualities, like things that I
Sure.
with from Wiccan, from
Yeah.
Indigenous Americans, from Mexico, from
Yeah.
Buddhism, from like
Love
all
it.
of these things that have resonated with me. I kind of take them, put them all together, and do something that works for me.
That's beautiful. Yeah, and literally everything you just have listed, I've had a guest that has practiced one or all of the above. So it's like it's very fitting. And I also relate to the being raised Catholic and then finding that you're probably sinning and gonna, well, at least that's what we were being told, that you're gonna go to hell and rediscovering yourself that but for me, God is like Mother Nature. And so I always say that I'm a student of the University of Mother Nature, and I respect the religion of animals and earth and elements and energy, and that's kind of like my belief. So I really take from a little bit of all religions as well, and just make it work for me. And then that's okay. That's okay for each individual, right? I also have an altar throughout the year with my mom, with my pets that have passed, and they're just there to like guide me and give me, some good vibes. So I love that you practice that as well. Thank you for sharing that. Very cool. So then how did it take off? Like, where was that moment of that click of, all right, this is it. This, I'm not doing the graphic artist designing anymore. I'm not gonna do the fine, which you still practice a little bit of the fine arts, but when was it, okay, Broadway is my career, musical, like stage performance, like this is what's gonna happen.
Honestly, that part kind of just fell into my lap in a way.
Okay.
I started, so I moved around. I moved to Atlanta for a year. James Vinson, who's my best friend and
Love
music
James.
artist, he moved down to Atlanta to be my roommate a little bit after I moved there. I left after a year. He stayed. He started working for Mac. Then I moved to New York City, and I always loved makeup as a kid. Like, I loved monster movies, and so I would always do Halloween. Like, I would do crazy looks on myself. I would like practice on
Yes.
underneath and do all kinds of stuff with that. And I had done theater like throughout my life. Like, I had acted. I had
Okay,
been on
cool.
stage, community theater when I
She's a
went to
performer.
college. Yeah, when I went to college, I did it. And then I kind of stopped doing it for a very long time. But I always loved makeup. And so James was like, why don't you apply for Mac in New York City? Like, this is
Yeah.
perfect. And this was the 90s. So, like, mid 90s, mid to late 90s. He's like, this,
When it was so cool, owned by Frankie
still
Frank and
privately owned, Frank and Frank. And it was
just
all about
creating face charts.
creativity. And he's like, this is the perfect place for you. Like, you would love it. And so
Love
I
it.
applied at the Mac Soho. It was opening up. And I got a job as a cashier, and then eventually moved up to third key, and then to assistant manager, and then to acting manager. And this was in Soho. And then they moved me to the original Pro Store in New York to be the manager there. So I
Wow.
started doing like events and body painting and fashion week and all of that. So all my background mostly was like at
Yeah.
that was editorial and fashion, because
Sure.
that's the world that I was living in. And then Estée Lauder took over MAC, and it wasn't the same company that I had started with. And I was
Right.
like, I need to do something more. So I decided I was going to move to LA and work on films and try and go to school for special effects.
Awesome. I did not know that about you. That's so
Yeah.
cool. You're bicoastal like me.
Yes. So I moved cross country and moved to LA and struggled a lot.
Yeah.
But one of the goals that I wanted was to get into the union. And so I was working to get my days to get into the union and not really making any money. And I was, a friend of mine reached out and they wanted to do a film trailer so they could shop it around to get funding to actually make the film itself.
Sure.
So we did 3 weeks in Montana, and then we were doing a weekend in New York. So they flew me to New York, and so I was there. And while I was there, I was like, "Well, I'll set up stuff for Fashion Week." So I used to work for the E! And Style Network. So I was like, "Oh, I'm here if you need me to do stuff." So I stayed longer. I was working on some things, and then a friend of mine, Kate Best, who is Vanessa Williams' makeup artist, and J Lo, she was doing Into the Woods with Vanessa on Broadway,
That's right. I do remember that. Yeah.
And so she found out I was in town and she said, "Hey, I need someone to cover for two shows. Would you do it?" And I said, "Sure." Went in, two shows turned into eight shows. I went back to LA. She said, "Can you come back another week and cover for me?" And I said, "Yes." She flew me back. I covered for a week. I flew back to LA and then she called me the week after and said, "Will you come and take over for me?" Because she's a celebrity makeup artist. She doesn't want to work eight shows a week in a dark theater.
Right. It's a different vibe.
Totally different. So in the same year that I moved to LA, 7 months later, I moved back to New York.
Wow.
And I worked on the show until it closed, which is when Vanessa left.
Okay.
And I got my union status through that because I had made enough hours. And so
Yay.
I was able to get into the union at that point. But then that job was over. And so I knew that the costume designer was going to be designing Wicked. And I had read the book and I loved the book. And I just said, I would love to work on it, like doing the same thing that I was doing, like working on the show.
Yeah.
So I didn't hear anything for a while. And then suddenly I get a call from her office saying that she would like me to come in to interview to design the show. And so I was like, oh,
Wow.
okay. Because they were looking for someone with an editorial background because the director didn't want it to look like every other theatrical production at the time.
Sure.
So I went in and interviewed and then I got it.
Amazing.
And I hired myself to work on it because I was too afraid to just be a designer at that point and didn't have the confidence. So I was like, well, at least if I work on it, I'll be working full time and I'll be making a paycheck. And then things just started snowballing after that, where it was then like, oh, I got asked to do another show because someone really liked my work in Wicked. And then my name started to get out there. And then slowly, it got to where it is now,
Bravo.
which is kind of
Yeah.
crazy. But
So cool.
yeah.
I have a lot of future professionals or mentorees and students that I've had in the past that are most likely listening to this. And can you share a little bit of what the union is and how that benefits your career? And some of them are not aware of what the difference is with like having an agency and then being a part of a union.
Yeah, for me, it was really important to be part of the union because I wanted to be part of something that would protect me in my workplace. And I also wanted benefits because it's really important to have some benefits and some retirement.
Sure.
And so that was my primary goal. But now, having been more involved in the union and being the chair of the mentorship committee and working in these programs where we are doing these classes in conjunction with RealWorks to bring
Yeah.
in people who are not in the union, especially POC, LGBTQ plus, to bring them in and do a program with them where 798 members teach them.
Very cool.
I've been learning a lot more of like what the benefits of the union are. And I think that, a lot of people may have issues with being in an organized union. And there are some things that, like, even I'm like, oh God, it's so businessy. Like, I can't, like, it's not my head.
Yeah, the
But at the same
adulting of it all.
time, I'm protected. Like,
Sure.
there are rules that productions have to follow. And, with be getting paid, for example, like you work 8 hours, you get your straight pay, whatever that is, but then you get time and a half after that, and then you get double time when it goes into it. You get meal penalties, so
Right.
someone's not working you 16 hours a day, and then you're getting like $200. So there's that aspect of it. The other aspect is the benefits and the pensions, so that when I retire, I can actually have some money from this.
Nice.
And also, it's like a really one of the things, especially now that I'm finding being more involved in it, is the sense of community and the fact
Yeah.
that you have these people who understand what you go through, who maybe are more educated than you in aspects. And so you can go to and say, "Hey, this is happening to me. Is this right? Or are they taking advantage of me?" You have the support of the entire union.
I love that.
And I think that that's a big benefit. Plus, they do education for the members, and we're going to be expanding on that. I'm on the education committee as well, so
That's so cool.
yeah.
Good
So
job.
we're planning on expanding some of that. As mentorship committee, we're actually going to create an internal mentorship program within 798 in all
Amazing.
that will be available in all the districts. So that's our goal for the new year, is to
Yes, it's
work
gonna
on that, because
happen.
that's a lot of work.
I'll make sure to put in the links in the description of this episode. But it's local 798 for those that want to look into it a little bit more. And just look for the mentorship tab. And I'm sure
We
you'll
don't
find
have one yet.
it.
We will,
Okay.
because this is the committee finally just formed at the end of this year. So I've been doing this for about 2 years now, but I didn't have a committee until just recently. But we will have one. But you can go to
Okay.
the website and you can find out there's a tab for non or something that you can click on for non-union members. It will tell you all the information that you need to like get into the union, what the process is, all of that.
Beautiful. Well said. Thank you so much, Joe. So I wanted to ask, what practices or routines do you have in place to nurture your creativity and spirituality while running yourself as a business, basically?
Reading is a big thing for me. I travel a lot, and usually I'm by myself when I'm working on things, and don't always have an associate or someone that I can go to dinner with or on my breaks. So I bring a lot of books, and I bring like physical books, because I don't like reading books off of a screen. I like the actual thing, which sucks, because if you're traveling, like I was in Brazil for 6 months. So I had to bring like
Yeah.
three books with me, and I finished them within 3 weeks, and I still had 3 weeks left. So I had to find an English, well, a bookstore that had English books in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so reading really helps me. It kind of helps me settle. It's a great way for me to like go grab breakfast, go have dinner, and just sit by myself and read. I've even like brought my book to bars and just read,
Very cool.
get a martini and sit and read a book.
Little espresso martini with some literature.
Like the other thing I do too is I love, which I don't get to do unless really I'm home, but I love painting. I love doing art. And there's something about that that really like resonates with me and always has. And now I'm at a point where I'm like, I am an artist. Like when I describe myself, like I am
Absolutely.
an artist. I do makeup, but I'm an artist. And there's something that I just love in the process. This year, as a Christmas gift to myself, I'm investing in block printing supplies so I can start doing some printmaking.
Yes.
And
Yeah, it cre keeps your creative juices flowing. It
yeah.
keeps everything, it's feeding your soul. That way you can, you're kind of doing some selfishness for yourself or just Joe to reignite your passions. And then that way you can go back out into the field and provide the service and the energy that you're gonna exude to your staff or your whatever project you're working on. So yeah, I think it's very important for every creative individual to continue to feed your soul and your passion and just keep those creative juices flowing. So I love that you do that.
Yeah, and I read this book. God, I'm blanking out on the name of it now. It's like The Creative Process or something, but it is pretty straightforward and made a lot of sense. But it tells you things that you kind of know but don't really listen to. And one of the things was that not every piece of art that you are making has to be a finished product, and not everything has to be the best. Like sometimes those things are stepping stones to what you're eventually going to do. And
Love
that
that.
changed my idea of like being able to do like these little pieces of art here and there. Like I always thought, oh, I have to have a series. Like this has to be a whole big series, and it has to have some
Who
meaning.
made that rule though? Like that's, you know what I mean? Art is
That's what
subjective
we're told. You
too.
know, that's what you're told. Like that's how you're going to be successful, or that's the sign of success. Or if people like what you're doing, that's the sign of success. But that also has changed, where like I'm not doing, art for other people now. I'm doing it for me and to make me happy. So.
Sorry, my husband just got home. Something happened to the dogs, I can tell.
Oh no.
Hold on one second.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that. Joe, I want, since you talked about successes and what people look at for portfolios in a sense, how do you measure success in both your creative and entrepreneurial pursuits, and do they overlap in any way?
You know, it's funny. I've done a lot of thinking about this, probably over the last 5, 10 years. And I realized, and it was it, like after, so I was nominated for an Emmy, for Jesus Christ Superstar.
Yes, I love that one too. It's so
And
good.
I lost to Saturday Night Live, which everyone loses to Saturday Night Live every year, so it makes no sense.
You're still on that level. You were nominated, like
And
amazing.
it made me realize, like, when, because everyone thought that we were going to get it, and people were very surprised, including Louis Zakarian from Saturday Night Live. He was like, "I didn't prepare anything because I thought you were
Yeah,
winning."
you're right. You're right.
He was like, "I voted for you." So it made me realize, like, I didn't need that. Like, I was amazing. It was an amazing experience. I loved it. Like, it was sort of surreal being on the red carpet and being like surrounded by these celebrities, and that was really cool. But I realized I was only doing a lot of this stuff, and a lot of the things that I did were to make my family and friends proud of me, not really because it brought me joy. I mean, it did bring me joy, but like that
Sure, sure.
was the focus of it. And when I started thinking that way and started thinking about just being an artist, it changed my mindset. And so I go into things differently now. It's not about what other people think. It's about doing something that is creatively rewarding for me. And if I feel good about it, then that's the reward. Like, if it makes me happy and it brings me joy, that's the reward for me. And that's the success for me, because I've gotten to a place now where, I'm at the top of my part of the field in theater. And so, like, there's not much further I can go in that respect, at least keeping in the same thing that I'm doing. So it has to be like there's nothing more to achieve in that part of the industry that or a goal to try and set in that part of the industry as being a makeup designer.
Sure.
After doing it for 20 years. So I think that it's more like personal rewards and feeling personally successful, rather than getting the outward attention and getting the praise from outside. It's more about, is this bringing me joy? Like
And
Marie.
that's part of the evolution of the artists and their style and their aesthetic to be more authentic, and eventually, after you've learned your fundamentals and figure out your strengths, and you said it perfectly, what feeds you joy, what kind of gives you those butterflies and makes you feel happy. That's really what matters at the end of the day, is like, are you fulfilled with what you finished and the product that you delivered for yourself, not for anyone's opinions or acceptance. It's really about how you're accepting yourself and you're loving you. I love that. I wanted to also ask if you can share any tips or advice for aspiring entrepreneurs looking to incorporate more creativity and spirituality into their work.
Well, I think there's lots of resources out there now. I think years ago there was not. We didn't even really have education years ago.
Right. Good point.
And then, I mean, the Powder Group, I think, was celebrating their 20th anniversary, and that was kind of the first thing that really, unless you worked for a makeup company, never really got education. And our group was the first thing that sort of gave that. So now, and a lot of artists have moved into including their spirituality into their practices. And so I think there's so many more resources out there. Like with James Vincent, like his Rebels and Outlaws, like,
Love that.
And him about talking about creating a space, like your space for people, to make it so that when your client comes in or your actor comes in, like, you create this safe, calm space. And I think that's one of the reasons I get asked a lot to do a lot of these things, because I have a very calm personality and a very welcoming and warm personality. And so people feel comfortable when they come
It's
into my.
your energy, yeah, 100%.
So I think that's one of the things that can really help. But an education, I think, is so important no matter where, what level you're at. Like, you can learn things. I still learn things
Oh,
all.
yeah, we're forever students. Yes.
I think sometimes people think, well, I know how to do that. Like, I know how to do that eyeliner. I'm done.
Right.
Like, but are
You
you?
can have different perspectives, different mediums, different.
Different styles. Like,
Absolutely.
I just remember the time, and this was many, many years ago, when I saw James do a lip with an angled brush, and I was like, why did I never think of that? That makes so much more sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's precision, it's balance, right? All the things.
And lips have always been my hardest feature too.
It's a very intimate feature because they're verbal, and you're, I think, if you get intimidated, you're an artist, maybe, or makeup artist's go-to is to like start talking to them, but then you realize, oh, I can't talk to you, I'm doing your lips. So
Doing the
then,
lips, so
right? So
more
it's
than
about
likely they're
like.
going to respond. Yeah, and it's getting harder for me, so I'm having issues with the joints in my hands, so it's getting a little bit more difficult for me. Like eyeliner, I still could do really easily. I don't know why. Maybe because it's just a really quick, fast thing.
Straight line, yeah.
But lips have become, depending on the day and depending on how they are, but
My advice is avoid caffeine stimulants. Just drink oxygen water because that'll help you less shaky hands, you know what I mean? But yeah, I can understand the pains as well. But I think having some anti-inflammatories maybe in the nutrition would help a little bit too.
Yes, which I have been doing.
Turmeric, very good.
Turmeric every day, and so in and my doctor, like I finally have a doctor here in Rhode Island, so
Good.
I'm going to go to a specialist. Just we know it's not rheumatoid, which is great for
Okay,
arthritis
good.
in my family, so it could just be that, and just exercises and things that I can do. But
Sure.
so like I've gotten to a point too where I still love makeup, but and I love to design. Like if I could design for the rest of my life, I would design for the rest of my life. The actual act of doing it, I'm not as excited about anymore. And also I'm excited about other th aspects of it, like producing, directing, those kind of things. Like, I do it with my drag shows where I write them, produce them, direct them, which is hard when you're on stage trying to direct everybody
Yourself.
else that's on stage and myself. I have a co-director, so she watches from outside and she's able to,
Very cool.
balance things. But it's, that part of it, that part of creativity and being able to, I've been in this industry for so long that like I see what's good and what's not good. So I want to be able to take that and also, be part of that aspect of it.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited to see what's going to happen this 2024, you guys. And we're in season with Mindful Artist Podcast. So that leads me into my new segment for this season. I'm so excited for this season, you guys.
Because reading is what?
Fundamental.
There you have it, darling.
Let's take a dive. The library is open. Joe DeLue the second, I would like for you to tell us about your favorite book that you're currently reading, or maybe a book from the past that you've read. If you have it, you can show it to us and tell us the top three reasons why. Like what do you suggest about this book?
Cool. Well, before I go into that one, I did get this one because I couldn't remember the name of it, which is The Creative Act, A Way of
Okay,
Being
cool.
by Rick Rubin. So this was the one I was telling you about that,
I love the cover.
it's a really, really great read. And like I've,
The
marked
Creative Act.
a bunch of pages. Yeah, Creative Act by Rick Rubin. I was torn because I have two books. One is one that I read years ago. And it's City of Night by John Retchie. And this is a really incredible, he's a writer, but he decided that he wanted to be a sex worker. And this is, I believe, probably in the 60s, 70s. I can't remember when exactly it was, but and it's basically the story of his life traveling to all these different cities, New York, Chicago, New Orleans, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and the stories. And his writing is so beautiful. But it's basically the main story is just about him sort of not allowing love into his life and living this life that he did, thinking it was what he really wanted and really enjoyed, but it was really, and anytime someone made a connection with him, he kind of like shut them down.
Sure.
And years ago, I had taken a chapter out of this and I had written a play based on that chapter.
As Mr. Drag?
No, not as Mr. Drag. I actually wrote it and directed it. I was not in this one. But what I've decided to do is I reread the book just recently, and I've decided I want to sort of redo that play and base it on the entire book, and kind of take from this and be inspired by this. But
I love that. That's exactly what I'm talking about, you guys. See, sharing some narratives, some new literature from other, you know, creative people that now look at, you revisiting this in a different mindset, and you're going to redo a project that you've done once and make it even better. That's so cool. Yeah. Congrats. I love that.
And then this is a book that I just read, The Strange and Stubborn Endurance.
Okay.
And, you know, I told you I'm a big fantasy and sci-fi nerd. And it's rare when you can find like LGBTQ plus fantasy stories that aren't like cheesy, cheap, almost porn.
Right.
And this one, I believe the author is non-binary, I believe.
Very cool.
But it's basically a fantasy story, and it's about these different countries and where this one son who comes from a country that is very like religious and doesn't really, you know, where homosexuality is a sin, and so the son of this like really wealthy guy who's in control is basically having to like hide his homosexuality, and he gets betrothed to this daughter from another country so they can have an alliance. And then the representative from that country comes and finds him in a situation with a man, but the other country has no hangups on sexuality. So she's like, well, great, then you can marry the son.
And don't tell us the whole thing. What do we want to read?
I'm not telling you what happens. That's the basic. So then it's like the story of him going to this other country and being in a space that like is open to this kind of thing. And it was a really, really great.
Strange and stubborn?
A strange and stubborn endurance.
Thank you.
So yeah. That one I just finished reading probably like a few weeks ago. And
I love that.
Looking forward to the next book in the series.
I enjoy learning from other creators as well and seeing what, you know, tickles their brains and learn from that experience too. Thank you so much for sharing that. I love that. So this leads me into my other favorite part of this podcast called Wrapping Up Mindful Artists Rapid Cues. I'm going to ask you three questions, Joe. Write intuitively wherever you feel your answer is. Just don't think about it too hard.
Okay.
Question number one, who is your hero and why?
Oh God. Who is my hero and why? I don't think I've ever thought about this.
Just breathe. We can come back to it, and I'll ask you question number two that kind of marinates a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Your favorite music album of all time?
I mean, making this really difficult for me because I have so many. I love so much music to say like one. Like, and also depends on my mood. Can I say like my favorite band of all time or my favorite musician of all time?
That's fine. Yeah. Maybe this will help because I always say maybe Baby Joe listens to this album frequently, or you're on a deserted island, one disc man, one headphones, and you can only hear this one album.
I mean, ELO has always been, the Electric Light Orchestra has always been
good choice.
I think it's just the orchestration, the feeling, everything about it. So I would say ELO's Greatest Hits, because then I can get all the songs from them that I like.
There you go. Good job. I love that. Cool. All right. That took care of number two. We'll revisit number one in a little bit. Question number three. What is your favorite quote of all time and why?
These are so difficult. I should have prepared for these.
I usually don't.
Now I'm like, now I'm going through all the quotes in my head. I think there's a quote from by Bette Davis in her last movie that she did, which was like The Stepmother. I can't remember what it was. It was not a very good movie, but she actually passed away in the middle of it. So they had to change the storyline and she was playing like a witch. And she says this line, "I am not the kind of woman that needs to be waited on hand and foot." And it's always sort of resonated with me. And also it's a quote that always reminds me of James and our friendship, because that was like a big thing. And we used to make mixtapes for each other,
aww,
the quotes from movies on them. And that was one of the ones that I would always do. And I would like edit it so that it would like kind of like, you know, like I was scratching on a record.
Spoken word, yeah.
Yeah, so it would like, I would kind of like have it repeat itself over and over.
That's so clever and sweet and thoughtful. I love your guys' relationship. That's so sweet. It's, that's community. That's also spiritual. Yeah. And that's part of what's feeding your soul and keeping you guys grounded and presence. Cool. Thank you for sharing those. So we got EDO and Bette Davis. Very cool. Let's revisit your hero. Who is your hero and why?
This is such a hard...
It can be a personal hero or a career hero. This is, there are no rules to this answer.
Yeah. I mean, the one person that really pops into my head is the actress Patty Duke. And she was part of Wicked when we were in San Francisco, and her and I became very close because I would have to go do her makeup every day. And to see how she moved through her life and to know her story and the things that she went through, and then to like build this relationship with her to a point where, you know, she's giving me the advice that I need to get through what the situation that I was going through. And I think that, like, you know, being still being in the situation that she was at the time, where she, you know, she was bipolar and she was on medication and stuff, and just seeing how she was able to maneuver through that and work through that in her life, and then still just be this like ball of joy, like every moment,
and perform
yeah
incredible.
And, yeah, and you know, it was sad when she passed away, and we would
rest
call
in peace.
Yeah, we would call each other usually around the holidays every year and just catch up. And it was the one year where I called her and left a message, and then she passed away shortly after that. So it was just a sad moment. Her husband had said, you know, she kept saying she needed to call you back, she needed to call you back. And then so it was like
he's with you. And I'm sure she received that message very well, and she'll be giving you messages throughout your career. So, and you have that altar. I'm sure there's signs of her there as well.
Oh yeah. A little gift that she had given me is on there. So yeah,
there you go. I love that. That was great. Thank you so much, Joe DeLude.
You're welcome.
Where can we follow you? Where can we support your craft? And do you have anything that you want to plug? Any projects that are coming up that we should be excited about?
Instagram is the easiest way. It's at DeLude2, DeLude2. That's where I post most of my things. I'm not the best social media person for sure. But if I'm
it's a job, it's a lot.
It is a job, and it's a job I don't want. So if I was independently wealthy, someone else would be doing that job for me, like Joan Collins has. But your social media is great. And then Mr. Drag, you can find on YouTube. I did a series during the pandemic called Quarantini. So if you look up Mr. Drag Quarantini, you can see those. They're all like 10-minute videos. The Drag Sisters,
so
which
cool.
Is the big shows I do, you can find on Vimeo if you search Drag Sisters on Vimeo. The recordings are not the best. We get it done for free. So, you know, I'm sorry about the sound and the editing. It's not us.
It's about the entertainment and the message.
Yes. Right now, I'm excited about the mentorship committee and the internal mentorship. Mm-hmm. That we're doing and how that's going to advance. And then also I can say this because I think we're pretty much at the end of negotiations, is I will be designing next year Death Becomes Her, the musical.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Congratulations. Oh, so, that's going to be epic.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. We've been having meetings, and I'm it's going to be a fun show and a really, really difficult show
Heck yeah.
to figure out.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of not only stage theater makeup, but effects and
Yeah,
maybe
and
some prosthetics.
there's magic. I'm not even sure how we're going to do some of these things and some of the changes that we have to do. I'm not sure
That's
how
so
it's going to
rad.
happen, but
I'm gonna go up there for that for sure.
yeah, we're in Chicago. I think it opens May. I think the opening is in May. We
Yeah.
previews the end of April, and then it'll be coming to Broadway in the fall.
I love it. Right around the corner. Congratulations. You guys, that's what I'm talking about. Joe DeLude the second. Let's give him a round of applause. Congrats on all your successes. And thank you so much for sharing your journey, your light, your energy. And I received it well. I know the listeners and the viewers are also receiving it. And you guys, this is your one-stop shop for all things mindfulness, creativity, spirituality, while being an entrepreneur. That song you're about to hear is Mi Corazón, written by myself, produced by Aaron McLendon. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram at Mindful Artist Podcast. Share this episode with somebody that you like and then tag us. That way we can get a little bit more on the algorithms and have some stars and reviews. You guys, make sure you make an impact in somebody's life, my kings and queens and all in between. Thank you so much, Joe. Till next time,
You're
everybody, I'll see you. Much love and light. Take care. Bye, Joe.
welcome. Bye.